Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
All right, here we go. How many homeschooled this year? Not by choice. Anybody in the house had a homeschool? Raise your hand, nice and tall. How many have ever realized that you thought you knew a subject? You're like, yeah, I know math. And then you sit down with your kids' homework? Joy, I bet. It doesn't matter what grade they're in nowadays. You're like, what is this? It's funny how you think you could know something. Jay, we talked a little bit about what it's like homeschooling kids, and I know Dana was trying to do both at the same time, teach and homeschool. And it is funny how you think you can know a subject and then sit down and look at your kids' homework in grade 8, 7, 6, or high school and go, this isn't the math that I remember. And I say that because as we talk about honor, you know, you think you have a level of honor, but it only takes a reading of the Gospels to follow and see the actions of Jesus and to go, man, maybe I don't know honor the way that Jesus honored. Maybe I'm not quite the same level. And part of that is because we've grown up knowing honor a certain way, knowing respect a certain way, and there's a ton of it that is so valid and so needed. And yet there are portions of honor that we've grown up with that we've only had one side to honor. We've kind of understood how to honor presidents. Well, let's go pre like 5 years. We've known how to honor dignitaries and kings and queens and different ones. But I'll tell you, we're at a place right now where, you know, I'm not sure we even know how to do that anymore. But what Jesus really did well is he honored everyone equally. Look at everyone as if they were Jesus and honor them that way, right? Yeah, how many remember that? You have to just, I like vocal, right? You can raise your hand. See. So that makes total sense until the person that you're trying to honor like Jesus is not behaving anything like Jesus. And then you look at him and you go, but Jesus wouldn't function that way. So how do I honor him like Jesus? Isn't that the challenge? And I was thinking of my very words. I'm like, those are great words. You know, it was Bill Johnson's words. I looked at it. I'm like, yes, I love that. That beats with my heart. And then when you are trying to teach somebody, like one of your children, and you're at odds with them, and you're like, you're not acting like Jesus, but I'm supposed to treat you like Jesus. How does this work? Did anybody else find questions like that? Awesome. Because that's the questions that we have to ask when we look at honor. You know, this week we've had quite a, if you've watched the news at all, even if you don't watch the news, I'm sure you've heard, we've had some things that, to me, really begin to expose in two different ways honor or lack thereof. I want you to look at a scripture before we dive into that. I'm going to do a scripture that we looked at last week. So turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 17. First Peter 2, verse 17. I'd love for you to just view it, you know, look with your eyes. So when you're there, just say, I'm there. I'm not there yet. All right. We're getting there. I encourage you to always look up scriptures because sometimes we, you know, we'll just take somebody's word for it. I love, as you know, I love going through multiple translations as well. I always find that each person that translates or a group of people come up with a different part that really helps me understand. I always start with New King James and then go from there. But it says this, honor some people. I'm just trying to see if you're watching. Honor everyone. All people or everyone. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. You know, to me, there's not really anybody left out in that, is there? All people. It doesn't say all people that are treating you properly. It doesn't say all people that are walking with God. It doesn't say all people that have no mistakes, all people that are walking in purity. It doesn't say that. It says honor all people. And that, to me, brings up some of the greatest questions. How do we honor all people when we are divided on such big topics or small topics, when we are light years away from each other on beliefs? How do we honor all people? And I really believe, I really believe, you know, Sean, you had a prophetic word about, you know, the greatest revival yet to come. I think in the darkest moments, it provides the opportunity for the greatest revival. And when I look right now and I see, so in my mind, it is phenomenal when we have these lines packed and people are getting set free. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest revivals in my mind that can happen is a revival of family. Because I believe the revival of family and honor and unity is actually the structure that will sustain a greater revival. Because revival after revival, we've often seen end in destruction, end with churches splitting, end with divorce. You know, who would want to see that? So wherever we go from here, we want to see it built on a foundation of honor and not the honor that we've known, the honor that Jesus modeled. Can I get an amen from that one? All right. So I want to show one more scripture and then I want to talk about two things in the news. That's why. Here we go. Turn with me, if you could, to Psalms 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3, whether it's on your phone or your Bible. Psalm 11, verse 3 says this: if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you've been watching the news, I think it was as of Thursday, we saw a horrific scene out of Miami, where if you are not aware, a building collapsed. How many are aware of that? Tragic. They're still trying to look for people. In the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, a sudden shaking, and literally, if you've seen the video, a building completely falls down. Half of it anyway. It's like, looked like two units together, half came completely down. You know, they haven't discovered or really announced what it was. They haven't said it was terrorism. They haven't said it was a bomb or anything like that. But what they are alluding to right now is that there were some foundation checks on that building that they were concerned with. One engineer has already put out, released his report that he gave just a couple years ago, that he began to see erosion in the foundation. He began to see where, something should have been water-coated properly, and it wasn't, and it must have been, you know, leaking a certain way. And you know when you have water that runs, and then it rushes out and basically takes away? It's like the sinkhole. If you wonder what's going on our property there in our parking lot, we had a sinkhole. And so what that comes from is water's rushing away from the wrong spot, creating a cavity, and it, you know, can erode the foundation. And I think what a unfortunate but powerful analogy of the fact that, you know, we could think it's not a big deal. You know, I try to often remind my kids, you know, I don't like hearing the word hate. You know, hate is a biblically wrong word. It's a sin. Hate is actually equal to murder in the Bible. Did you know that? You know, we can say, I hate that person. You're actually saying, I want to murder that person, or equating it equal to murder in the Bible. And these are things, I'm like, these are foundation stones of honor. And if we let these slide, you know, I hate, or, you know, man, I'd love to just kill that person. You know, we use words by accident. Maybe on your list, they're way lower, but sometimes even the lower, we're not realizing that small things can erode away our foundation. And before we know it, we have this gap that's beginning to form, and we don't think anything of it until all of a sudden our foundations collapse. And it could look like in marriage, it could look like your marriage collapses. Have you ever had it, and every married couple has had it, where they've had to get their heart right because something small gets in that begins to erode at your relationship? Anybody want to admit that's ever happened? Because I know it can so easily, where it's just a little disgruntledness, and it could even be, and I joke around often, and we have no qualms about our toothpaste. You know, I joke around about it, but, you know, if that was really bothering Krista and I knew it, but I just kept doing it anyway, you know, those little things are funny at first. Ha ha, honey, you're just, you know, you're silly, stupid, silly. I want to smack you, silly. You know, you squeeze from the front, it should be from the end. And, you know, maybe a month goes by and you're silly, you're funny. And then a year goes by and you're driving me crazy. And 2 years go by and like, can't you learn? Why don't you listen to me? And 3 years, you know, these things begin to erode at our foundation. The second thing that was in the news this week, which is horrific, that we began to find out about yet again another residential school with 751 bodies found. You know, if that doesn't make your heart grieve, I'm sure it does. I think if anybody could look at that, moms that have wondered for years what happened to their children, can we even imagine? And I bring that one up because Danny Silk is one of the things that we often do with honor is that we love to honor the me in you. So when my wife Krista acts a lot like me, it is so easy to honor her because she's acting like me. And because I love me, when she acts like me, I can honor her. But when she acts like her and I don't like it, it's not easy to honor her. You guys following me? Well, the residential schools were often there. They wanted to take out the indigenous and put us in them. And I think, Lord, we are discovering things that our foundation has been cracked for a while. And we think we would never do that. But you know that we do that every day? Because when we disagree with someone, we're disagreeing with the, they're not showing the way that we agree or the way that we think, therefore we disagree. And these are some of the hot topics to go. How do we, and we have so many hot topics these days because we're living in a day that is away from the Bible more and more. We're living in a day where some of our culture doesn't even come close to relating to biblical culture. And we think, how do we do this? How do we relate with people when we are diabolically opposed? And yet God could. You know, God could take, we talked about this last week, God could take a woman, not just told that she had committed adultery, she was caught in the act of adultery. And they knew very well in their culture, can you imagine a culture, like, we can't wrap our brains around this until you've watched a movie, and a movie just came to mind, I can't remember the name of it, but it was based on a stoning, I think it was called The Stoning of... And it was the first time I'd ever watched a culture like that. And it's so foreign to me. My mind couldn't even at the time wrap my brain around what was happening. Because they had to have their child throw the first stone at their mom. Like, can you wrap your brain around that? And Jesus walks into this culture that literally has been established by God, by law. And he walks in and they want to basically try to trap him because he's preaching this completely different culture. Woman caught in adultery. And then he basically so eloquently says, hey, if you've never sinned, feel free to throw the first stone. And then there's nobody left. And he treats this woman with such incredible dignity. And in their culture, she's done. Like, are you understanding? This is like not small. This is huge. In their culture, women were already less, but in this case, she is done. And yet he establishes through honor and grace this incredible dignity back into her life. It's absolutely incredible. We've been watching Downton Abbey lately to put ourselves to sleep. We like it, but we also put ourselves to sleep to it. At night, we'll just, last thing we'll do, let's watch some Downton Abbey. And they recently, in season three, this is our second time going through it. Everybody know what I'm talking about when I say Downton Abbey? So look at, she's like, yes! Any men know Downton Abbey? Am I the only one? Anybody want to admit it? Thank you very much, brave men. In season three, there's an episode, I think it starts in season three, might have started at the end of season two, where this housemaid makes a very bad decision, very poor decision. And it's so interesting because it reminds me of the story in the Bible about the woman caught in adultery because it's a soldier. They're taking care of soldiers and this soldier basically seduces the woman and they're caught in the act. And he goes on to continue being a soldier and everything's fine. She gets completely fired and sent to the streets. And as the season goes on, you know, the one mother tries to help and reach out, but because she has been cast away, the only thing she could do to support her child is she ends up in prostitution. You know, and our hearts should go, It's amazing watching this unfold because you see the lack of care for the person. She sinned. She made a choice. She's cast out. And now that she's cast out, she made an even worse choice. And when her mom tries to bring her in and get her a better life, she brings her in to be, it's quite humorous because she's never cooked before. She brings her in to be the cook in her house. And it all unfolds. But there's this tension because everybody hates the fact that she's there because it brings a scandal to their household. Because how can you have a prostitute in your house? Even though she's not doing prostitution anymore, she wants a better life. It doesn't matter. And this was, by the way, like, and this is just, of course, a TV show, but this was 1920s. So we've had 1920 years to try to figure out how to do the honor like Jesus did, and we still haven't figured it out. So for us to think that we figured it out would be foolish, wouldn't it? Because I think there's a level of honor that I know I do not walk in. I will be the first to tell you this year and a half has shown me that I have not walked in honor all the time. Let me give you one quote from, I think it was Danny Silk that said this. I just wrote it. I was doing my notes about this one. You know, when you feel something's really important, I'm like, big, bold letters, because I thought, oh, I got to think about this one. He said this, sometimes we fall more in love with the issue than the person. Think about that for a second. Doesn't that like hit home? Sometimes we fall more in love with the issue than we do with the person. Therefore, the issue becomes more important than the person and the relationship with that person. And you're like, yes, but doesn't that open up another set of questions? How do we function when that person's in complete sin? What kind of boundaries do we put in place to honor them and bring dignity, yet not condone or, you know, there's so many questions that go with this. You guys with me? Just deep thought, right? Okay, perfect. All right, so let's begin to talk about this. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to use a scripture that we know so well. I want to give you a couple foundation stones to honor. These are the stones that really hold up how to honor. And if we could, let's be really aware of where our hearts are at, because it's easy to go, oh, yeah, I can do that. But I want us to take time over the next few weeks as I talk on this to go, Lord, teach us to really figure out how to honor well. We talk a lot, we're going to 1 Corinthians 13. We talk a lot about culture and atmospheres. How many have ever walked into an atmosphere of celebration and you weren't feeling it, but when you walked into that atmosphere, you're like, ooh, this is good. Anybody? How many have ever gone to Disney, Walt Disney World, Florida? The excitement, right, when you're a kid. Like when you walk into, I have to be careful with these because if it's a hot day, it may not, but usually when you walk into Disney World, you know, you don't see people walking around all bummed out, do you? This is such a horrible day. You may get your odd person, but what do you see? What is the atmosphere that is there? Excitement, anticipation. People are in lines waiting. You know, I'm a Disney. I love Walt Disney. I want to go back because they got the new Star Wars. I'll tell you, man, before I get there, I'm going to be so excited to see that. They've got an Avatar Land. I want to go see Avatar Land. I'm still a kid at heart. But I'm not going to be walking around moping. I'm going to be like, show me the next thing. Show me that. Like, it's an atmosphere that they create. Remember the first time we went to Bethel? I cannot explain to you, other than we walked into an atmosphere that you're like, what is this feeling? To this day, I don't even know if I can fully articulate. There was just something in the spirit that you felt like you could become the greatest you ever and go do great exploits for the Lord. There was this honor. You know, I remember it was at Bethel the first time that I began to realize that I had not honored my testimony. Because here I have Andy Mason. Every time he sees me, tell me it again, Jay. Tell me about your healing. Tell me about God, how God totally healed you of a blood disease. Tell me how God totally opened up your ears. And as I tell him, he's like, I got to take you with me. We got to go over here. If we didn't have to go, I probably would have been telling that to Bill Johnson and their team. They get so excited about testimonies. They live in the realm of what God does in the miraculous. And that creates an honor, and that creates, therefore, life. Because honor creates life. Amen? So we have to learn to create atmospheres and a culture of honor. I think of different cultures in here. As I get to know you, Jason, just the other day we were talking, and you're sharing a little bit about your culture. You're from Malta, and that's a different culture than Canada. Singapore, that's a different culture than Canada. A lot of times we like to think that we have the right culture, but I'll tell you, when I listen, there's different things about every culture that I love. In the realm of the kingdom, so often we're trying to increase our skills. We're trying to increase our prophetic. We're trying to increase seeing miracles happen, and that is wonderful. Man, I'll tell you, during worship, I want to see people spontaneously healed. Wouldn't you love to see somebody walk in broken, distraught, maybe they have cancer, and they like, I don't know what happened, but something during worship, I felt something happen. And they go to the doctors and get a scan, and there's zero cancer. Anybody else waiting for that day? I'm like, Lord, you promised us. You prophesied through so many people that that would happen. I'm waiting for that day. Now, that's phenomenal, but let's read 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Ouch. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. Those are like hard words. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Like, can we just stop and think about that? To me, if you look at that, those are the greats of revivalists. You know, you think about people that come to town that can prophesy. I think of Sean Bowles, you know, that guy that prophesied at a stadium with 90,000 people and called out somebody's name, address, described their house, and then gave him a prophetic word with 90,000 people. Anybody else find that kind of fascinating? Yeah. Did anybody see the video? If you see the video, it's amazing, because this guy's like, if it's the same guy I'm thinking of, because he's there, and then all of a sudden he goes, Sean can't even see him. Because, you know, 90,000 people, and he's getting called out from the guy on the stage. Sean can't even see him. But all of a sudden he hears, like, he says his name, and you hear everybody start screaming. Because this person's like, that's me. And so they're trying to get Sean's attention with 90,000 people. And then he says his address, and this guy starts freaking out. And then he gives him this incredible prophetic word. Of course, whoever's around him that knows him are like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Do you know that as good as that is, if Sean does not have love in his heart, even with that gift, God says, you're nothing? If you could eloquently speak, I could preach and people could be like, that's the best preaching ever. If I have no love in my life and I show you no love, that is all worthless. You guys following me? Yeah. Look at it. It says, I have faith that can move mountains. I have knowledge and I understand all mysteries. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so the greatest thing that we could pursue is how do we love each other with the love of God? And with love comes honor, with honor comes life, with life comes building people's dignity back up. I would love to, and I'm not, I want to get to the place where I could see the most broken of broken. And I always want to give honor to the Lazarus when they see these people come in. I am not there. Can I just be real with you? I am still trying to learn to get there. And I'm like, I can learn to love these people, but I'm still trying to figure out how to keep my love on around this. And yet, that's where God's calling us. And so often we want to go places and we want to bring our culture to them because we feel like we're better, but we have to learn to bring heaven's culture to them. Stop worrying about changing their culture to Canadian culture. We have to change their culture to heaven's culture. And each culture has some great benefits. Let's keep reading. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. We read these at weddings. Gosh, if we could do this better at our marriages, we can start there. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And so we could get caught up there and go, I don't rejoice when people sin, therefore I have love. But it's two sides. Of course, you don't want to rejoice in their sin and rejoice in their foolishness if they're making bad choices. But can you see beyond that to the person that God created them to be? And that's the love that we have to go after. Can I see every person? Can God give me the ability to see every person the way he created them to be? That I could find even just something to grab a hold of and go, I can help bring dignity. There's a girl from Bethel. It's funny how they have these unsung heroes that they have quotes from. But there's some girl from Bethel that I don't even know if she was on staff. But somehow in a conversation, she told somebody, and of course it gets told to other people. She says, man, I love to memorize everybody else's prophetic words. And they're like, you mean your prophetic words? She says, no, those, I always memorize mine. But she says, I love to memorize everybody else's prophetic word. If I have access to them, I love to memorize it. They're like, why do you memorize other people's prophetic words? He says, because I want to see them the way God sees them. Because prophetic words are an insight into what you are called to become, not who you currently are. Or at least to say that the DNA is already in you. God's trying to bring that out of you. So with this girl, and how far she went with it, I don't know, but everybody kind of like, they're trying to have a culture of honor, and they went, whoa, boy, that's a missing key. We need that. Because if I know, you know, Pastor Gary's prophetic word says this, and even though she's maybe not behaving that way, but I can see her through the eyes of that prophetic word, she may not feel like she's behaving that way. Like, I'm this age, and how? Oh, but the words say, you know, we begin to encourage each other that way. Isn't that fantastic? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things. So, you know, if you begin to tie these together, does not rejoice in iniquity, but then it says it bears all things. So we're not rejoicing in your iniquity, but we're walking with you and bearing that with you, knowing that we want to see you come out of it. Believes all things, because I'm going to believe the best in you and not the worst. Come on, guys. I don't function like this 100%. I would love to get up here and say, I have honor down pat. I feel like the more I study it, the more it's way over there. But the more I study it, the more I get hungry to go, I want to see, I personally want to live there, and I want to see a church begin to function this way. Because I think the life that is in that will transform people. How do I know that? Because people left everything to hang out with Jesus. They may have had some mixed up idea of what that might look like. They thought maybe they'd become, you know, they would be able to reign with Jesus and Jesus would overtake the Romans. But in the end, if you look at it, because a lot of people left, you know, he would do something that'd be like, are you guys leaving too? And they're like, well, we pretty much sold everything. Where are we going? We're kind of with you now for good. But I really believe if you read through the scriptures that people wanted to be around him, not just for what he talked about. I believe personally Jesus was a lot of fun. Do I hear an amen? Why? Because he was at parties where the Pharisees are like, why is Jesus hanging out with all these sinners? And Jesus responds, I didn't come to heal the sick or heal the healthy. I came for the sick. But the fact is that they were surrounding him, and I think they were crowding him and wanting to talk with him. I think they wanted to be near him because he brought a level of dignity to people that they had never felt. Why is it that Zacchaeus, who is curious about Jesus, and then Jesus says, hey, I want to go to your house to eat. And he's like, my house? Are you kidding me? If you read that story, Jesus never once convicts him. He sits there and has dinner with him and loves on him. And in the end, Zacchaeus goes, oh my gosh, I'm a sinner. I've been stealing money. I got to give it all back. I got to give double of what I've taken. That's an incredible atmosphere. And what if all of our lives could carry an atmosphere like that? Gosh, wouldn't that be different than what we often function with? We're so quick to tell people all their errors. What if we could create an honor that raise people's expectations in themselves higher than they even believe? Wouldn't that be fun? You guys are quiet. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, okay, can we just start there? Where there are prophecies, they will fail. We've kind of lived through a season where we've seen prophecies not come to pass. But it's interesting, it says, where there's prophecies, they'll fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide faith, hope, love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. To me, what that's saying and why I stopped at prophecies, because we've even, you know, the body of Christ, especially in America, has been divided over prophecies in this last season. And what I think, if we look at the Bible, he's saying all that, you know, they'll fail. They'll not always come to pass because we see in part, but love is the key. So how do we, in a season like this, when the body of Christ is more divided than ever before on topics, how do we, this is the perfect season to go, how do I get my love on? How do I get my honor on? Like, this is the perfect season. We can all do it when we are perfectly in harmony, but we will never stay in perfect harmony. I always use marriage as an example. How many get married, you know, and it's that moment. Actually, there are more arguments before marriage with marriage planning, and they quickly find out, oh, this is going to be more difficult. But you realize we may not be in agreement all the time, so we're going to have to figure out in a marriage how to stay in unity even if we disagree. Because honor is not a... Because denominations are formed around something that we all agree on. But how many know there's going to be something down the road that we disagree on? Because another revelation, another teaching, another interpretation of the Bible, and all of a sudden we're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, I don't agree with that. So then we have the First, Second, Third Baptist Church. I remember driving into a bank in America, it was the fifth. I'm like, fifth, third, which one came first? I think it was the, no, maybe it was the third. What happened to the first and the second? But even banks are dividing. Because if we don't know how to walk in unity, even when we disagree, then we'll never have honor. Honor actually is its best when there's disagreement, because that's when you get to work it out. I know this is so hard. You're quiet maybe because like me, I look at this and I go, dear Lord, help. I really honestly do, because I know in the last year and a half, I have not done it well. I would love to go, man, I just had that so down, I nailed it. Anybody else? I wanted to say something with that and just, phew. Okay. I'm going to give you one foundation stone today because that's all I have time for. If you want to write anything down, write this. A foundation stone that props up honor is this. It's a destiny. Interesting, isn't it? A foundation stone of honor is destiny. The thing that props up honor is the fact that we look and must look at destiny. Now, let me explain that. Did you know that we are all on this earth not for our purpose, but for God's? We forget that, but we are all on this earth for a purpose. What is that purpose? Why are we here? Why did, you know, you may say, well, I just was randomly born. that may be true. Maybe you were before you or even in your mother's womb, he formed you, put together. He has a purpose and a destiny for you. What is that purpose and destiny? Well, it's to make God known. Our purpose on the earth is to make God known and to bring heaven to earth. Every one of us have been gifted with skills and design and abilities and leanings and things that you do that you bring and can bring and have the ability to bring heaven to earth and to make us more aware of God. I love the fact in this building alone, we have, okay, this is the natural. We have, real quick, raise your hand if you love dogs. Raise your hand if you love cats. Raise your hand if you love both. Raise your hand if you hate animals. Some people are like, I'm not judging. So we could disagree on all that. But how many have skills? Any carpenters in here? Raise your hand if you're a carpenter. Raise your hand if you have the gift of serving. Raise your hand if you have the gift of hospitality, very similar to serving. Raise your hand if you love missions. Raise your hand if you love to provide money for missionaries to go to missions. Just begin to see that there are people in here that have different longings, desires, likes. But what we have to try to start with is the foundation of honor is that we agree and understand that we are all here to make God famous and make him known. And that each of us are going to do it unique to somebody else. And the minute we try to make them us, we've actually taken away from the very uniqueness that God's put in them. The challenge is, how do we function together with everybody's giftings and uniqueness to bring the vision that God places? So if we're talking about a church, people are drawn to a church because of what God's placed on the church and for what God has us do. And then we say, how do we use the giftings and skill sets for this vision that God's given us? The problem is often that we think that our vision is the vision. And we forget to realize, just like you have a unique set of skills, this church has a unique vision. What God has ordained and called us to do. The church down the road has another unique vision. It's another aspect of the kingdom of God. And we fail to realize sometimes because we think we've got it. Therefore, they must have something wrong. And maybe they think they've got it, and therefore we must have something wrong. And then we have denominations that form, and then we have denominations that split and reform. And we keep doing this all the while a world is waiting to see God appear through people. And it's our opportunity in this season to begin to go, Lord, I want you to show up through me, and I want to figure out how to do this. And I'll tell you right now, it's going to be messy. It already has been. And we will make mistakes. But the beautiful thing about mistakes is it gets a chance to show honor because we get to come around and go, you know what? Didn't quite do that the right way. I apologize. Why don't you get your communion out while I'm going to tell this story? Point two with destiny. One of the greatest missions and privileges we have is to model Jesus and introduce people to the Father through our behavior. I'm going to repeat that because I think that's so good. One of the greatest missions and privileges we have is to model Jesus and to introduce people to the Father. Do you know that that's what Jesus did every day he was alive? He introduced people to the Father because he says, I do nothing unless the Father shows me. And then he said, you do not know the Father unless you know me. So he was there to go, oh, I know you understand God this way. And by the way, the Old Testament was about doing right. It was about law, and you were made right by doing right. In the New Testament, we are under a covenant of grace, and Jesus came to walk that out and go, this is what it looks like. Your love is not all about just doing right. It's about a faith walk with me, and you will not always do it right, but I'll continue to draw you back to me, and it's about relationship, relationship, relationship. And he wants to go, listen, this is what it looks like to be a father. This is what it looks like to be a mother. Now I want you to go and reproduce that. And we've been trying for 2021 years. And we will continue to try and hopefully get better. Last night at 1:30 in the morning, I was awoken by a knock on my door. And I thought, you know, when you wake up from a dream, you're like, was that real? Is that fake? So you wait. And then I heard a ding dong. I'm like, uh-oh. So as I'm getting up and ready, I hear another ding dong. And I go to the door at 1:30 in the morning. There's a young man there with a mask on. You know, 5 years ago, that would have sounded scarier than it is. And he says, I need to talk with you. I'm like, who are you? I'm like half asleep. Who are you? He's like, I need to talk with you. And I'm trying to go through my mind. Do I know this person? Is he an old youth? Like, what is going on? So I'm like, you're not coming in. He says, that's fine. I said, back away from the door. I got kids. You know, I don't know what's going on. I could open that door and who knows. Anyway, you're 1:30 in the morning, your mind starts going wild. So he backs away from the door and I come outside. Anyway, this young man somehow accidentally drove into my vehicle in my driveway, which is kind of funny to start with. But you know what was interesting is the honor that this young man carried. He was so apologetic, willing to do whatever it took to make it right. 1:30 in the morning, he could have drove away and I would have never have known. And I woke up this morning and he already sent me his name because I gave him my number and he sent me his number. And I thought, Lord, I don't know anything about this young man, but I'm going to get a chance to talk with him because I want to elevate his dignity. Because he felt horrible. He like, you know, that panic that, you know, and I'm like, I can't wait to talk with this young man and build him up and go, you carried such honor last night, such dignity. I don't even know if you go to church. I'm going to be curious to see if he's a Christian. And if he's not, he's well on his way. I'm like, Lord, what honor in a young man that could have driven away and probably nobody would have known. So church, I want to invite us into a journey of finding out how to walk in honor. And there's going to be things as we discover honor is not lacking. You know, some of the things that people think is that, does honor mean there's no leadership? No. Does honor mean that there's no confrontation? No, actually honor brings confrontation. Because powerful people, when you walk in honor, can actually talk with each other and go, hey, we need to sit down and talk about this. It's going to be exciting and scary all at the same time. But let's put, you know, Martin Luther King got up and said, I have a dream. And he planted inside of a Black and African American community that it could one day look different than it does right now. It planted a seed that has continued on that they can say, maybe one day it won't look like it does right now. And for us, if we're white, we have no context of that, but it only takes a few seconds to talk with someone who has lived on the other side of the tracks and you realize that's a seed and a dream and a hope. Well, I want to plant that seed. What if we could begin to tap into the culture of heaven, the culture of honor, and realize that we'll make mistakes as we go on that journey, but what if we could create an atmosphere where people come in and get restored with their dignity? That they come in and they tell us, and I'm sure, Erica, it's happened downtown, they'll tell us stories that will make your hair stand up on the back of your neck, but God will give us the ability to see beyond all that and look to who they really are. I can honestly say at 1:30 in the morning, I wasn't looking at my car. I was actually amazed and perplexed by the honor that this young man was carrying. It was a God moment. And I'm like, I don't really care about my car, actually. This kid is carrying such honor. I was able to calm him down. It's okay. We'll get it all worked out. We'll figure it out. I love it. So can we go on a journey? And by the way, when you take communion, you say yes to that journey. Why do I say it that way? Well, do you remember last week we talked about the fact that Jesus knew all of his disciples would either betray him, disown him, run away from him. And yet he gets on his hands and knees and washes their feet And after he washes their feet, he makes a covenant with them. It's hard enough when somebody does it after the fact, but knowing that they're going to do it and still be like, I'm going to covenant with you. We're doing this together, guys. I don't know. Think about that sometime. Just think about the honor that he would show people that he could do that, because I don't function that way. When people betray me, I want to fight back. My first concept is, oh, can I wash your feet? And let's make another covenant together. It's just so foreign. So as we take communion, can we begin to go, Lord, help us to think different. Help us to think kingdom. Teach us to think different. And as we take this, you're not just taking this with the Lord. You're actually taking it with every brother and sister that sits around you and is in this building. Did you know that? Because the Bible clearly states, if you have an ought with someone before you take communion, you should go make it right. Do we even do that biblically? Gosh, wouldn't that be great if that we get to a place where like, you know what? I think I'm right with every person. We're not necessarily perfect in how we're walking it out, but I feel like I'm right. Sorry, I'm just planting dreams. So Father God, we thank you for your body. Thank you for people watching online. And Lord, we can honestly say this is a bigger thing than we can even imagine. And so we ask for your help, Lord. We ask that in the coming days that you would increase our level of honor and our understanding of honor, and that we would begin to see people the way you see people. Help us, Jesus, to see people the way you see people. Help us to get a concept of honor that's not man's honor, but that is heaven's honor. And Lord, we just say help. Anybody else want to say that with me? Help, Jesus. And as we take the body, Father God, we just commit with you. We make a covenant that with you, that we will continue to pursue honor and love to the best of our ability. Teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed. Father God, we ask that the very sacrifice that you made, that we would begin to live out of. Lord, we've all wanted the power, the prophecy, the ability to speak into people's lives and to see miracles. But Lord, help us to start with love. And Lord, I thank you that the cross empowers us to love. So Lord, we reach into the cross. We reach into your body and blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we look to that distant future when we will walk out honor in such a more healthy way. Danny Silk, in one of his podcasts the other day, I was just looking through and looking for things about honor. And when the podcast started, the gentleman that was opening up said, like their quote, basically, their motto, he said, healthy families that changed the world. I thought, oh, I like that. I can get behind that. How many want to be a healthy family that changes the world? And you're already well on your way. Please know when I'm talking about honor, I'm talking more about myself because I know me better than you and all the things that I need to grow in. So Lord, we just say help, help, help. I thank you in the coming days, we're going to get better at this. I thank you for the beautiful weather that is not currently raining. We pray that we all have a safe Sunday. I pray that we would love on someone and bring up their honor and dignity as we meet with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.